This week, we'll discuss the latest manufacturing jobs report numbers with Alliance for American Manufacturing President Scott Paul and challenges facing our nation's veterans with MSNBC contributor and former Congressman Patrick Murphy. We'll also continue last week's discussion on service reductions at SSA with National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare Senior Legislative Representative Webster Phillips. But first, we've been joined by AFGE Legislative and Political Director Beth Moten. Beth, great having you back on again. Welcome.
Thank you, Jason. It's good to be back.
Beth, the fiscal 2014 omnibus budget bill has been passed. First, can you explain to our listeners what this bill is?
Well, let me just say quickly, it hasn't actually passed yet. It has been published, and they're going to try to take it up in the House, I believe, today, and then in the Senate probably in a day or two from now. And essentially what the omnibus does is it combines all of the fiscal year 14 appropriations bills into one big bill, the omnibus. I don't know why they call it that, but they do. And it's an improvement over the fiscal year 13 appropriations levels for the federal agencies, but it's not anywhere close to what our members need in order to do their jobs well. It follows on the heels of the budget deal that happened in December that Patty Murray, the chairman of the Senate Budget Committee, and Paul Ryan, the chairman of the House Budget Committee, negotiated in order to get rid of sequestration for 2 years. As you may remember, sequestration is actually a 10-year deal. This was a way to put that off for two more years, because last year's experience under sequestration for federal agencies and for federal employees was absolutely devastating. And so people wanted to try to get rid of that for a little while.
How will this bill affect spending at federal agencies around the government?
Well, it's a little bit better. We have our fingers crossed that we won't be in a situation like last year where we're going to have massive furloughs. As you know, a lot of our members in agencies last year, especially during the summer, faced up to as many as 6 or 7 days of furloughs. And those days were unpaid, and they never got paid back, and they never will get paid back. That was just a furlough because of a shortfall in the agency funding level, and there's no way to go back and get that. So we're hoping we won't have to go through that again under this omnibus bill, assuming that it gets passed by the House, passed by the Senate, and then signed by the president, which I think it will. There'll be a bump or two along the road this week, but I think they'll finally get it to the president, and he'll certainly sign it.
You mentioned with the bill that the spending levels aren't where they need to be in terms of AFGE's members getting what they need to accomplish their missions and do their jobs. What is necessary? How much more do you think should be allotted to these sorts of things?
Well, I mean, I think strictly speaking, I think we're talking about somewhere between another $50 and $100 billion a year total for the agencies to really function at a level that would make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to do for the American people, and so that our members are not constantly looking over their shoulder and counting paperclips and worrying about whether they can travel to go investigate a situation that they need to look out for to try to do their job for the American people.
And this $50 to $100 billion may sound like some sort of off-in-a-way number, but when you apply $50 to $100 billion to agencies like the Bureau of Prisons, where they're short on correctional staff to supervise the inmates, at SSA, where they're processing benefit claims for the American people, those are real tasks that need to be done.
They are, and those are great examples. The other thing is that meat and poultry inspectors take care of us every single day. I eat red meat, I eat white meat, I eat any meat of any kind, really, and I always count on those people to make sure that what I'm eating is safe. And their numbers have been dramatically cut back. There are constant threats in the Department of Agriculture to completely change the way meat and poultry is inspected. And, we're always being told, oh, it's because it's going to be a more scientific approach, when it really is always about squeezing the money. And when they do that, people like you and me are not safe, because if their inspectors are not there when that chicken or when that red meat is going through a processing line, there's no way to protect us. There's just no way. You have to actually have an inspector on the site to do that job.
Beth, you and your staff spend a lot of time building relationships with members on the Hill, and I'm sure that you've brought these issues up to them time and time again. What kind of response do you get when you give these real-world examples about, hey, this is what the money would be used for?
With some members of Congress, they already know, and they're they're deeply committed to federal agencies' missions, generally speaking. I mean, everybody has their favorites, and some people think we should be doing less with whatever than and more with something else. But most people generally do have some basic understanding of what federal agency spending will do and who the people are who provide those programs. In particular, when our members have done a good job of making themselves introduced and well-known to their representatives and senators, then they really can dot the I's and cross the T's and figure out what's going on here in these federal agencies. One of the things that members of Congress tell me that they appreciate the most is that when our members go to see them on Capitol Hill or if they see them back in their state or district offices, our members tell them what's really happening in the federal agency as opposed to what a supervisor or a manager or an agency head would have to say, which is everything's really just fine. And our members are able to go in there and say everything's really not just fine and we need more resources if you really want us to keep these Social Security offices open 5 days a week, 8 hours a day. And they're, you know, when they start closing field offices, people start to notice. And that's really important.
You're listening to AFGE's Inside Government. And we're here with Beth Moten, AFGE's legislative and political director. Beth, what's one thing that came out of the Budget Conference Committee deal?
Well, the worst thing that came out of the Budget Conference Committee deal is that it applied a $6 billion hit to federal employees, which was dealt with by reducing federal retirement benefits for people who are hired this year or after. And what it means is that people will have to contribute 4.4% of their salary to their defined benefit pension, as opposed to the 0.8%, which is what almost every other FERS employee contributes now. And it's really outrageous because the FERS defined benefit pension is fully funded. This was only a way for them to squeeze money out of federal employees in order to pay for it, pay for other things elsewhere. We felt very strongly that sequestration needed to be just repealed, period, and that it was a disaster. It was never supposed to happen. And once it did happen, we all saw the ramifications of that last summer. And it just needed to be repealed. But unfortunately, people who don't see things the way we do insisted that if they were going to repeal it, even for 2 years, it had to be fully paid for. And so if they fully pay for it, then they end up going after our people. And so the new employees hired this year or after will have to pay 4.4%.
So 4.4% versus 0.8%. Any increase in benefits on the back end when it's time to collect?
Not a single solitary increase in benefits. No, and let me just give you a quick idea of what that means for a typical GS-5. A person who's in a GS-5 job makes about $32,000 a year. If you're a FERS employee hired before 2013, then you're going to be paying $256 a year to your pension. If you're hired this year and you're making $32,000 a year, you're going to be paying $1,400 to your pension. It's basically a tax increase on a GS-5 of $1,150. If for a GS-7, it's a tax increase of about $1,400. And for a GS-9, it's a tax increase of about $1,700. And then, of course, it gets worse as the grades go up. But those are tax increases. It's interesting. They actually do score in budget parlance as tax increases. But, of course, many conservatives say they're completely opposed to any tax increase of any kind, but they don't hesitate to do it to federal employees, which really, really upsets me.
These GS-5s that you say make $32,000 a year, not a whole lot of money. There's also another group of federal workers not making a lot of money. That's the blue-collar class, right? Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, the blue-collar workers actually have had some good news in the last 24 hours because the white-collar workforce has just gotten their 1% pay raise for 2014, which I know is not enough, but it certainly beats the three-year pay freeze that everybody has just been under. But the blue-collar workers were not included in that for complicated legislative and legal reasons, which I'm not going to go into here. But we needed very much to get some language included in the omnibus, which would guarantee that the blue-collar workers would get that 1%, and we did do that, and I'm very pleased to be able to announce it here.
How important is that for the blue-collar workers to get some recognition for the work that they're doing and to get a pay raise like the rest of the federal government?
Well, it's crucial. They work side-by-side with white-collar federal employees. They do incredibly important jobs. You know, it's everything from a janitor in a VA hospital to an aircraft mechanic climbing in and out of aircraft on Air Force bases, and the temperatures inside those aircraft on those tarmacs can be 150 degrees, and they have to not only be able to withstand the heat, they have to actually be smart enough to go in there and repair an airplane at the same time. And those sorts of jobs are really crucial. Of course, we also have electricians and carpenters and plumbers and pipe fitters and sheet metal workers and all sorts of other people who do general maintenance on military installations. But we've also got very high-level electronics technicians and aircraft mechanics and the people who repair tanks. I mean, those people are all very highly skilled. They're blue-collar, and they have to be recognized that what they do is crucial not only to America, but it's absolutely essential to the people who are in the troops on the ground.
Beth, coming up February 9th through the 12th is AFGE's annual legislative and grassroots mobilization conference here in Washington, AFGE's flagship event every year to get the members together, and of course led by you and your team at AFGE. Give us a preview.
Well, we expect about 750, maybe 800 people to come, which is our normal level. By the time other people come in, usually for a day or two, we end up getting about 1,000 federal employees up on Capitol Hill, which is really satisfying because that's a lot of people in a single week. We will start really on Sunday afternoon with our plenary session, and that will mostly be we've invited some outside speakers, but we don't yet know exactly who that will be. But I will say on Monday morning, we've got three members of Congress who've already agreed to speak. The first one will be Congressman Tom Cole, who's a Republican from Oklahoma, who is very close to our members at Tinker Air Force Base and who has been a champion for us on the Appropriations Committee. In fact, I think it's fair to say that this blue-collar pay raise would not have gotten included in the omnibus except for Tom Cole. Also, Senator Tom Carper, who's the chairman of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, which is our primary committee in the Senate, is going to speak. He's a Democrat from Delaware, and we've been working closely with him from Wilmington VA Hospital and also the Dover Air Force Base. And then finally, Chris Van Hollen, who's a congressman, as everybody I'm sure listening knows, from Maryland, a Democratic congressman who is the ranking member on the House Budget Committee. He has been in the room every single time there has been any serious budget discussions going on that affect federal employees in the last 3 years. And he is a champion, a great friend, and we owe him a debt of gratitude.
How important is it to have some of these key members from the Hill come and speak to AFGE members directly during a critical time for the union?
I think it really helps our members have a sense of exactly what we're dealing with when they hear it from a member of Congress, even in a formal speech. Of course, it's helpful to meet with them in their offices and hear it. But when a member of Congress comes up and speaks to 800 federal employees, they go to some trouble to make sure they know what they're talking about. And when they do, I think our members really get a sense of just how difficult the environment is up here. It's been very, very difficult. I mean, you know, Jason, I've been doing this since 1985, and I've never had a harder time on Capitol Hill than I have in the last couple of years. Last year was absolutely brutal. And, you know, I have to hope that this year has got to be better. And not having to deal with sequestration for 2 years will be good, but I always worry about what's around the corner because every time they want to pay for something, they seem to come back to federal workers.
2013 certainly was an unprecedented time, at least it felt that way for federal employees, with a sequestration and furloughs and a government shutdown and a lot of angst and tension around Washington. What's the main message going to be based off of those events in 2013 at the legislative conference?
Well, we're really still trying to work all that through. We've got some ideas that we're playing with, but I would very much like to introduce legislation that will repeal the contribution increase for new employees. And I think it's really important for us to do that because even though you could say it's a victory because we managed to protect current workers from seeing their contributions increased, AFGE has a moral obligation to represent not just the people who are already on the payroll now for the federal government, but every single federal worker who one day is going to take the oath. And there's just no reason why they should be living with that outrageous amount of a contribution increase that they really won't be able to afford. And if they are able to afford it, then that means that they're going to have to cut back on their contributions to the Thrift Savings Plan, which is going to mean that when they retire, they're not going to have as much money.
Beth, as we close up here today, a couple of federal champions from Capitol Hill, Frank Wolf and Jim Moran, have announced their retirements. What does this mean for federal employees?
Well, it's a real loss, and it's a terrible loss to have both of them going in the same year. Congressman Wolf, who's a Republican from Northern Virginia, has been in Congress for a very, very long time. I'd hesitate even to say how many years, but it's been at least a couple of decades, maybe longer. And he's been an amazing voice for federal workers on the Republican side of the aisle, because sometimes, you know, he's a little bit lonely over there because he really does know how hard federal employees work. We're going to miss him. And Jim Moran has been a champion for federal workers. Both of them, interestingly, are on the Appropriations Committee, so they've had a lot to say about what's happened to people, not only in their pay raise or the things that generally happen to federal employees, but also what happens in their federal agencies and about funding. Frank Wolf has been a real champion on trying to increase funding for prisons, federal prisons, and so that's been a big deal.
Beth Moten, AFGE's legislative and political director. Beth, it's great having you here in the studio today. Thanks for coming by and seeing us.
Thank you, Jason.
You're listening to AFGE's Inside Government, available on demand at InsideGovernmentRadio.com. I'm your host, Jason Fornicola, and up next, we'll discuss the latest manufacturing jobs numbers with Alliance for American Manufacturing President Scott Paul.